So in the beginning of this message series, we talked about this verse out of Psalm 92, and really it has become a thematic anchor for us throughout the course of the entire series. Psalm 92, verse 12, "The righteous thrive like a palm tree, and they grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will thrive in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green." The first week we talked about the power of a seed. That second week we talked about the need to get planted and ultimately to take root. But today we're going to talk about the need to make fruit. To make fruit. If you have much experience with the Bible at all, then you've come to realize that it has a lot to say about the subject of fruit. For instance, Jesus actually said this of his followers regarding the subject of spiritual fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. "You'll recognize them by their fruit." You'll recognize them by their fruit. Let that sink in for a second. This is Jesus talking about people who follow him, all in disciples. He says, "You'll recognize them by their fruit." He goes on to say, "Every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit." I believe that this is what Jesus was saying in that moment. He was letting us know that fruit, spiritual fruit, is the visible evidence of our inner life. Spiritual fruit is the visible evidence of our inner life. In other words, fruit is what shows up. It's what manifests in our life. Whether something's going good or whether something's going bad, fruit is what shows up. And so what you and I have to learn is that there is not so much even a need to inspect intentions as much as there is the need to inspect outcomes. In fact, if you read the book of Corinthians, one of the things that Paul points out in those two letters to that specific church is that even when it comes to the subject of judgment, don't be so caught up in judging people's motives or judging people's intentions, but rather judge the outcomes. It's almost like God is saying that he permits some fruit inspection. But if you're going to inspect some fruit, you better start at your house first. Can I get an amen somewhere? And so I want you to see what the outcome, what the fruit, what shows up, what it should actually be. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is patience. It is kindness. It is goodness. It is faithfulness. It is gentleness. And it is self-control." I'm going to read those again for the sake of emphasis. I want you to really let them sink in for a second. That when the fruit shows up, when the outcomes of your behavior and your actions are made manifest in your life, it should resemble love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what the definition scripturally of the fruit of the Spirit is. But I'd like to ask you, who do all of those characteristics sound like? Like if you were to think of one individual that encapsulates all of that, this fruit, there's no better example of it than Jesus. Can I get one more amen on a Sunday morning? In fact, you can actually go through the Gospels and you can see repetitive instances where that it almost seems like that the authors are specifically pointing out that Jesus was making this kind of lifestyle, this kind of fruit, these kind of characteristics manifest in his life. And so I think that maybe if we were to try to theologically press this down into one bottom line that every single one of us could take away this morning, it would be this. The best definition of spiritual fruit that we can arrive at would be this. Spiritual fruit is Christ-likeness. That's what spiritual fruit is. That the standard for it is the life and the example of Jesus, and that in the way that he modeled gentleness, you and I should model gentleness. And the way that he modeled love, you and I should model love. And in the way that he manifests joy, you and I should manifest joy. The list goes on. Spiritual fruit is Christ-likeness. So when we're diving into this message today and we're talking about the need to make fruit, what we're talking about is that our lives would begin to more adequately exemplify Christ-likeness. Here's something I would say to you. Fruit describes the kind of life that obedience to Christ produces. Can I say that again for the sake of emphasis? Fruit describes the kind of life that obedience to Christ produces. Here's the way that the Apostle Paul summed that up in another passage. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 11. You shall be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and the praise of God. You and I should be filled with the overflow of a fruit, a spiritual fruit of righteousness. It's not just talking about right standing, it's talking about right living. And the way that it's going to be made manifest in your life and in my life is ultimately through our relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the most beautiful parables in the entire Bible is found in John chapter 15, and it is the parable of the vine. And that is where that Jesus begins to tell us that he is the vine and we are the branches and we are expected to abide in him. Well, here's the rest of that story. The idea would be that as we are a branch and he is the vine, that the Holy Spirit becomes a life force that flows through that vine into the branch of our life, and then fruit is produced. And if you've hung around three trees very long, then you've heard me at some point give the analogy that I learned from one of my mentors, Dr. Larry Stockstill, where that he tells the story that there's never been a moment where that any of us have ever went out into a garden and seen a tomato vine trying to labor in travail to give birth to a tomato. We've never walked out and seen a grapevine travailing in birth pains trying to produce a grape. No, it's just you walk out and suddenly there is the production of fruit. Fruit, one way of looking at it, is excess life. Fruit is a vine's way of telling you, I have more life than I can contain. I must release it. And so when you and I get connected to Jesus Christ, somebody better help me this morning. He comes to give life and to give life more abundantly. And the result is that when you and I get hooked up to him, it produces a life force that you and I shouldn't even be able to contain. More joy than we can contain. More love than we can contain. More patience than we can contain. More gentleness than we can contain. It's excess life. Christ likeness. So I think maybe it's worth saying at this point that fruit is not the reward of effort. Spiritual fruit is not biblically laid out as something that you produce more of as a result of effort. Instead, it is the evidence of authority. It's the evidence of authority. So I think a follow-up question would be this: who is in authority over your life? Who is in authority over my life? But because the question is never if you're producing fruit, but rather what kind of fruit are you producing? So look at it like this. Romans chapter 6, Paul's trying to help bring clarity. He says, so what fruit was produced then from the things that you are now ashamed of? Anybody ever been there, done that, bought that t-shirt? Like, what fruit was produced from the days that you're now ashamed of, but now the fruit you get results in sanctification. In other words, the authority over your life has been changed. Let's take it further. I think Scripture lays out for us, especially through the epistles of Paul and the life of Jesus Christ, that there are two kinds of growth that are competing inside every single human life. There are the works of the flesh, and there are the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And what Paul does further in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, is he actually implies that this produces some kind of a spiritual war on the inside of you. That there's this side of you that has this fleshly desire that wants all of these things in the world that produce works of the flesh. But on the other side, there should be this yieldedness to the Holy Spirit that produces things that are more like Christ Jesus. And therein lies the war. And we are either producing works of the flesh, which are bad fruit, or we are producing fruit of the Spirit, which is good fruit. I wonder if I got any Kentuckians in here who can help me understand what this is. I got any farmers up in this house? Louisville, I got anybody that knows their vegetation? Come on, somebody. Kudzu. Kudzu. Do you understand the story behind kudzu? It is actually quite fascinating. In the late 1800s, the United States government introduced a vine from Japan. It's called kudzu. They actually showcased it at the 1876 Philadelphia Centennial Exposition. They displayed it as a beautiful, fast-growing solution plant. In fact, farmers were encouraged to plant it because it was supposed to prevent soil erosion. In fact, during the Great Depression, the government was so bought into this that they began to pay people to plant kudzu on their farms. In fact, millions of acres of kudzu were intentionally planted. And at first, it looked like a miracle, because it grew fast and it looked green and it seemed like it was solving a problem. But there was one thing that no one accounted for. Kudzu grows with no governor. You see, in the southern climate, it began growing by up to 1 foot a day. And what happened is that it didn't just cover ground, it started climbing trees, it started wrapping houses, it started swallowing barns, it started choking forest, it started taking the life out of orchards. It killed everything underneath it. Today, it is called historically the vine that ate the South. Here's the key detail. Kudzu grows without restraint, without purpose, without submission to anything around it. Kudzu has no one to tell it no. And that is exactly how our flesh works. At first, it can look like that things aren't that bad. In fact, as the works of the flesh are made manifest, it might even somewhat feel better. But in due time, with no governor, with no spiritual authority in your life, what will ultimately start to happen, life growing without submission to God's rule chokes out every fruitful thing that it touches. Life, a life that's living outside of the authority of Jesus Christ, will ultimately see every beneficial, spiritually fruitful thing choked out. Like kudzu. I wonder how much spiritual kudzu is loose in the global church today. I think about this passage from Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul makes a really interesting statement. He says that the works of the flesh are obvious. I think you would agree with me. It is obvious that kudzu got loose right here. Now, on day one, not so obvious. But even within a matter of weeks or months, it becomes increasingly obvious. So the point here is that maybe it's not necessarily obvious instantaneously, but in due time, the works of the flesh are going to be extremely evident. And so I'd like to say it this way. The works of the flesh show us what the human life looks like when Jesus is absent from the center. And here's the way that it works out. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar, in case your symptom was left off the list. I would really like just to take some time and preach anything similar in case somebody needs a little help. But what he's laying out is like, this is what the works of the flesh can be described as. And he says, it is going to be obvious when this thing has run loose without Jesus being at the center. So what you and I have to ask is, are we a good tree or are we a bad tree? Because what Jesus goes on in Luke chapter 6, verse 44 to say is this: each tree is going to be known by its fruit. When is the last time that you inspected the fruit of your life? And even if we were to take a moment and do that today, with the help of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, what would we discover? Do we more resemble the bad tree with all of the works of the flesh, or do we better resemble the good tree with all of the fruit of the Spirit? Are you and I producing works of the flesh, or are we producing fruit of the Spirit? It will be determined by who has authority in our life. So understand this. The flesh, when we talk about that scripturally, when we use that term biblically or even in a sermon message such as this one, the flesh, what we can understand that to be is the default operating system of fallen humanity. So think about how your phone has an operating system, how your laptop has an operating system, and how that those operating systems can completely revolutionize or transform the way that device functions. There's an operating system at its core. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, the operating system for humanity was transformed. And we are born with the wrong operating system. We are born with this fleshly desire that has three main appetites: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We crave it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. In fact, John said that all sin is going to fall within one of those three categories. That's our operating system. But when you experience Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you have a born again moment through the work of salvation, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the old operating system passes away and you get the download of a brand new operating system. And what begins to happen is the flesh begins to be crucified and the Holy Spirit begins to rule and reign in your life. And you're no longer bound by that carnal mind, but now you are released into a spiritual mind. And so I think maybe we should hear Jesus preach for himself for a moment, because I believe that he makes a quite profound statement in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. He says, therefore, produce fruit that is consistent with repentance. Can we just say that again? Therefore, produce fruit that is consistent with repentance. And so what he's saying is that when you come to Jesus Christ with repentance in your heart and you have a born-again experience, there is a brand new operating system downloaded into your life. And now there should be a production in your life through the help of the Holy Spirit that more resembles Jesus Christ than it does the mess of this world. Can I get an amen somewhere? And so I think maybe we should even understand that repentance is not proven by your tears. It is borne out by your trajectory. True repentance produces visible change. We're not talking about behavior modification. We're talking about spiritual transformation. That something inside of you has been updated because of Jesus Christ and your relationship with him, and it begins to have an effect on what your life is producing. The way that Paul says this in Galatians 5:16 is, I say then, walk by the Spirit and you will certainly not carry out the desire or the work of the flesh. So when you think about these works of the flesh, you have to understand the works of the flesh are manifest when we yield to the authority of self-rule. When we give our flesh what it wants. But the fruit of the Spirit, it grows when we live from surrender. You surrender. You're that branch connected to that vine, Jesus Christ, and you are just surrendering. to the life flow of his spirit coming through you. And whereas you typically would have responded with hate, you now respond with love. And where you would have responded with rage, you now respond with patience. Because you're surrendering to the life force of the vine of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You abide in him and he abides in you. And that produces what Paul says in Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these, there is no law. So I want you to notice this parallel verse that Paul also writes to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. So I think one way that we could begin to summarize some of this is that good works, they are not the root of salvation, but they are its fruit. Your good works are not what saves you, but your good works begin to testify that you have had a salvation experience. They're fruit, and the fruit is Christ-likeness. Would you just turn to somebody and tell them, be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. And I'm telling you, you turn on the news, you scroll through social media, this world has lost its mind. And the thing that it is desperate for is for the church to be the church. And that doesn't mean that we develop pompous, self-righteous attitudes and pontificate what we think someone should or should not do. It means that we deliver the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And above all else, we exemplify a lifestyle that is like Jesus. Like Jesus. Come on, one more time, help me preach. Tell them, be like Jesus. I think I heard somebody in Louisville say it. Be like Jesus. That's the fruit. That's the fruit we're yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit to make. We're surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit to make, to be Christ-like. And that fruit, what happens with it is that it includes actions that benefit others and glorifies the Heavenly Father. I want to give you just one more verse. And this is a verse that I have meditated on all week long. And it's honestly a verse that I kind of carry with me throughout my life, and it shows up in my prayer time very often. John chapter 15, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit, and you prove to be my disciples. Now listen, my bend in life is to make that fruit about something that I can produce, something I've done, something I've accomplished, something that I did for the Lord. And certainly there is this understanding that we should be productive. But you have to understand that this is not so much about the works of your hand as it is the manifestation of what's in your heart. And when you're that branch, John 15, that's where this verse is located. When you're that branch, and you're in the vine of Jesus, that Jesus is saying, above all else, be like me when it comes to your love. Produce much fruit in your joy. Produce much fruit in your patience. Produce much fruit in your gentleness. And I struggle with that one. Produce much fruit in your self-control. Like, have you been producing much fruit? Have you been producing any fruit? Because I do need to point out to you, and you can wrestle with this in your own prayer life. Jesus talks about how that the branches that produce no fruit are cut off. But he also points out that those that produce fruit are pruned so they can produce even more fruit. I came to compliment somebody if the Lord's been cutting on you. It may not mean at all that he's displeased with you. He may say, I know there's more I can bring through you. So how about 2026 as a year where we let the vine dresser of the Heavenly Father come into the branches of our life, cut what needs to be cut and prune what needs to be pruned so that we can keep producing much fruit, more fruit, any fruit on behalf of the Heavenly Father. And that people would see our works and glorify our Heavenly Father. It starts with surrender. And so this morning, I'm going to ask them to begin to play some music. And as they begin to play this music, we're going to move into a time of prayer. And the thing that we're going to do first and foremost is we're going to ask the Heavenly Father to help us evaluate our life. And we're just going to get real and honest about the places where there's been works of the flesh and the places where that there's been fruit. And the places where that there is some pruning that needs to transpire, transformation that needs to occur, and yielding to the right authority in our life. For they shall be known by their fruit. For you will recognize them by their fruit. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning that today, God, you would revive all in followers of Jesus Christ who would live to glorify your name. God, across our locations today, we have assembled with one thing that we desire above all else, and that is to be more like Jesus. And so, Father God, today we focus not so much on the works of our hands as we do the manifestations of our heart. Those moments where the fruit shows up. And God, we're honest that there have been moments where we quite frankly need to repent because the works of the flesh have too often shown up. But Lord, we would desire today that our life would better resemble the fruit that comes on the other side of repentance. And so God, today there are people that need to repent for the very first time in their life. They have never had a born-again experience. And maybe they're even leaned into church online and somehow they came across this moment and yet something has captivated their attention and it's not the words of a preacher so much, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that God, you are drawing them to bring them to the understanding that right now, wherever they are, in this room or somewhere else, to lift their hand and say, Jesus, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need my old operating system to pass away. I need a new experience in Jesus. And so, Lord, we believe that that's possible because of what you did on the cross. When you shed your blood and you took the wrath, you took the wrath, Lord, to rescue us. And we thank you. And we receive forgiveness today through your grace. And we know, God, that you can do that because of what you did in the tomb through the power of your resurrection. So now, God, give us the boldness to confess to anybody and everybody for the rest of our life, I'm saved and I know it. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, being discipled in his work, his will, and his ways, making the fruit of his Spirit manifest in my life. God, I believe today there's maybe also people that are involved in this moment that need to rededicate their life. Their life just hasn't been very spiritually fruitful. And it's been because the wrong authority has been ruling and reigning. But today, God, repentance arrives. And we thank you for a fresh start, the opportunity to begin again. Lord, somebody else, it's not that they aren't saved or that they don't have a pre-existing relationship with you. It's just that today, Lord, there's a spirit of conviction on their life. And quite frankly, God, it's stirring something in them. It says, I sense God saying to me that there is more that he wants to do in me, and there's more that he wants to do through me, and that first and foremost, that takes place with the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. God, love is surging in someone where bitterness, strife, and hate has previously had rule and reign. God, right now, somebody's patience is being impacted by the life force of your Holy Spirit. Or someone, their gentleness and how that they've been interacting and engaging in situations, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be made manifest. God, somebody else, it's been a struggle with a hurt or a habit or a hang-up, but right now, the fruit of the Spirit through self-control is stirring, growing, and coming out of their life like excess life in Jesus Christ. Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And this church said, amen.